Good evening to everybody. Parshas Chukas opens up. Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the decree of the Torah. Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. Daber al b'nei Yisrael yukhle lecha para aduma tamima asher ein b'mum asher lo Allah aleha'ol. Kadosh Baruch Hu commands the Jewish people that in order to become purified from Tumas Meis, there's a requirement of the sacrifice of para aduma. Para aduma is a cow, a red cow that has no blemishes. Asher lo Allah aleha'ol. Mefarshei Chumash raised the question, if indeed we're talking about the chok, the decree of the Parah Aduma, why does the Torah not introduce it as Zos Chukas Parah Aduma? Why does the Torah tell us Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the chok of the Torah, and then the Torah goes on to command us in the midst of Parah Aduma? Mefarshei Chumash explained that chuka, the chok, the decree of the Parah Aduma is Metaher Es Atzmeim Umetame Es HaTorim, it purifies those who are impure, and then it impurifies those who already are pure, but that's not logical. It doesn't make sense. It's hard to grasp. It's something that indeed is a decree. It's not logical, and indeed Parah Aduma is the chok of all chukim. It's the ultimate, it's the quintessential chok that we have, that exists. It's that which is most undescribable, unexplainable, is the decree of all decrees. Other Mefarshei Chumash express something different, that really Zos Chukas HaTorah is not referring to the chok, to the decree of the Parah Aduma, but it's referring to the entire Torah. The entirety of the Torah, all of the mitzvos, are really chukim. Everything that we do, all the mitzvos that we fulfill, even those that we do understand, don't even scratch the surface. We don't even understand an iota of what it is and why it is that we do it. The explanations for things that we do give us some sense of a reality to help us explain what we're doing. But at the end of the day, the reason that we keep Torah, the reason that we do the mitzvos, not because we understand it, but rather it's chukas haTorah, it's a decree of the Torah, it's a relationship, and in any good relationship, we do what we are supposed to do, even though we don't entirely understand it. Rashi explains the words zos chukas haTorah, v'fisha ha-satan humas olam monin Yisrael omar, ma ha-mitzvah hazos umatam yeshba. The satan and the nations of the world mock fun at us and poke fun at us and ask, what's the reason that you're performing this mitzvah? L'fichach kasav b'chuka, and therefore the Torah articulates and uses the word chok, that it's a decree. G'zeira hi milfanai eilecha rishus l'hararat, decree. It's a commandment. You must perform it. You have no right, you have no reason, and no ability to question it. That is the chok. That is the ultimate decree. It's the chok of the Parah Aduma. However, those two words, Zos Chukas HaTorah, have a different meaning as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is in Siman Tav Kuf Beis, his phase, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Tav Kuf Beis, Tav Katan Tazayin, and the Magen Avraham writes as follows, and I quote, the Yisim B'Ksavim, Shiroi L'chol Bar Yisrael Livchos Al Freifas HaTorah. It's appropriate for every Jew to cry on the burning of the Torah. Shemikach Zanim Sur HaTorah L'Klipot. As a result of this, which happened, the Torah was destroyed, was ripped apart into pieces. Katavatanya b'yom hashishi parshas chukas. The Friday, Erev Shabbos parshas chukas. Nohagu yechidim lesanos. There are those individuals who have the custom to fast. Shebaoso hayom, on that very day, Erev Shabbos parshas chukas, Friday of the eve, the day before Erev Shabbos parshas chukas, nisrifu chav dalek kronos melein b'sfarim b'tzarfas. There were 24 cartloads of books that were burned in Paris, in France. Continues the Magen Avraham, V'lo kava osa b'mei HaChodesh. The fast was not established on a date, but rather on a day, Erev Shabbos. Mipnei shemitoch she'las cholam, as a result of a question that the rabbis of the city of Paris asked in a dream. Nodalem shiyom ha-parsha goreng gzeiras ha-Torah. The parsha itself caused this decree, the destruction of these 24 cartloads of books. Zos Chukas HaTorah, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, we read the words, this is the decree of the Torah, Mitargamina, Mitargam, translates the Gzeira, Oraisa, this is the decree of God, of the Torah, and therefore, as a result, this date in Jewish history, the Friday, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, there are individuals who fast as a result of this burning of 24 cartloads of Svarim. An earlier source which speaks to this as well is in the Sefer Shiboli HaLeket, in the Din Dalitaniyos and Reishan Gimel, the Shiboli Neket, Rabbi Zechariah Harofe, writes the following. V'gam min harabbanim shehayu sham, from the rabbeim, the rabbanim in the city of Paris, we heard, she'asu she'elas cholam, they had and they decreed, and they asked of Hashem in a dream, l'dasim zeri ne'esabar v'shivenolat, is this really a decree of God that these farm, these 24 carloads of books were burnt? And the answer that they received in the dream, dogzeiras raisa, an explanation of those three words, biyom shishi zos chukas haTorah yagzeira, that which occurred Friday, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, that indeed was the gzeira. Umeoso hayom elach, says the Shiboli Haleket, from that day and that year onward, kavu hayechidim aleim lesanos, there were those individuals who established in customary fast day every single year, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, and they did not establish it on a date of the month, but rather it was always established on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas as a result of the first three words in the Torah reading of that week, Dogzeira Oraisa Zos Chukas HaTorah. Another source which speaks to this custom is the Sefer Moy L'Kol Chai, Rechaim Palagi and Simon Tess, Oschetz writes that in his city, where he served as Rav Izmir, Nahira Mikat Avi Natalia, I remember since I was a young child, they were businessmen. They were businessmen who were afraid, who were frightened, who didn't leave their homes. Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, u'mashahaylam lasos b'erev Shabbos, hayu'osim misnakni b'yom chamishi. That which they had to do, l'kavod Shabbos, they took care of that day, that week, on every Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, on Thursday. V'enore yom rabim nesar sholeilech v'yil l'kfar b'yom zen. Many don't travel in his city of Izmir on that day, and he concludes, Rav Chaim Palagi, Hashem shomer amu Yisrael b'chol makom b'chol zman shlo yehuna lehem shomer Hashem, should protect us, should guide us, and take care of us. What's some of the background behind this event? In the year 1242, in Paris and France, as described, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, 24 carloads of Svarim were burnt. This takes place as a result of tremendous anti-Semitism, which preceded this date. Of course, the well-known apostate Nicholas Donin established a very anti-Semitic nature in the city, in Paris, in France in general, and encouraged the church to attack the Jewish people and to question the Talmud, the holy book, the holy Sfarim, the Gemara that we had, as a result of Nicholas Donin's claim that in there one could find blasphemy against God, against the church, against priests. And Nicholas Donin encouraged the church to confiscate all of the Talmud, all of the Gemara in the city. Ultimately, there was a showdown, a debate which took place, and the great Rabbi Chiel of Paris, the Rosh Hashiva of the city, amongst others, including Rav Moshe of Kutzi, debated Nicholas Donin, and the Rabbanim did a splendid job in defending in the Talmud and explaining everything that took place, but of course, there was no other way out. The church paskined in favor of Nicholas Donin, and ultimately, of course, Michiel of Paris later documented this in his well-known work, Vikuach, which means debate or argument, and ultimately loads and loads and loads of shuls, homes, were attacked, were ravaged, and all Gemaras were removed. Ultimately, until that date, on that year, 1242, ultimately many, many thousands upon thousands of works were destroyed and were burnt. Of course, it precedes the printing press, so everything was manuscript, the amount of hard work, the amount of effort. The Bali Tosos wrote, and many Chidushim included were all burnt on that very day. Ultimately, that led to the Maram of Rothenburg, who was an outstanding student of Rechiel of Paris, the leading Rishonim, to write and to author one of the most well-known kinos that we recite every year on Tishba of Kino Mem Aleph, Shali Srufa Be'esh, which is a reference to this event of 1242, the burning of the carloads of Svarim. He himself, Maram, was an eyewitness to the event, and that is some of the background behind this incredible day in Jewish history, and it's for that reason that the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, the Shpalei Leket, and the Reb Chaim Palagi quote this as a date that some have accustomed to fast, and as a result of the Pasuk and the Targum, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Interestingly enough, although both the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, Reb Chaim Palagi, Shibolei Leket all note that it's not a fast on a date of a month, but rather it's on a Erev Shabbos, you should be aware that many and all of the Jewish fast days that we have are all referred to by their month and not their day. In Zechariah and Parikres, which is the source of all of the fast days that we have, they're referred to as Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi'i, Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the eighth month. Amru Chazal, Chazal teach, Tzom HaRavi, Zeshiva Sabitamas, Shubuchodesh Ravi, Lamin HaKadoshim. The fast, the fourth month, refers to Shiva Sabitamas. Of course, we start counting in Nisan, and then Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz, Tammuz being the fourth month, therefore it's referred to as Tzom HaRavi. Tzom HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av, which is in the fifth month of the Jewish year. Tzom HaShvi is Tzom Gedalia, which takes place in the third month of the seventh month, the day after Rosh Hashanah. Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the tenth month, is Asar B'Teves, which is in the tenth month. So all of the Jewish fast days are referred to by their months and not their dates, albeit that the Gemara already refers, and Chazal already refer, and we are aware of the date that this took place. In Siman Tuf Kuf Mem Tes, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskin, Chayavim Lehisanos B'Tishrei B'Av, B'Yudayin B'Tammuz, B'Gimel B'Tishrei B'Asar B'Teves. These are the four fast days that we have, Midrabanan, on rabbinic level, of course, outside of Yom Kippur, outside of some of Tainus Esther, which is on an even lower level. Mipnei Dvarim Haroim Shir Bohem, as a result of the difficult and the painful events which happened on those days. As we are just a week away from Shavuos B'Tammuz, let's talk a little bit about Shavuos B'Tammuz. Of course, the Mishnah mentions the end of Masechet Tainus, that on Shavuos B'Tammuz there are five terrible things. There are five awful events that took place in that day, and that's the reason why we fast. Number one, based upon Rashi's understanding of the calculation, that day, Shavuos B'Tammuz, was the day that the Luchos were smashed by Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down to Har Sinai and he saw the Egel Hazav. The second event that took place historically on Shavuos B'Tammuz, Butal HaTamid, Ode Melahakiv Bayis Rishon, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, the Korban HaTamid was stopped, was no longer able to be brought. The number three, Ufka Ha'ir B'Churban Bayis Sheni, the siege on the city of Yerushalayim took place in the second temple on this very day. Number four, V'Sarf Apostumus HaRasha Satora, Apostumus HaRasha burnt, destroyed the Torah. And finally, Huma Tzelem Beheichal, Tzelem, a piece of Avodah Zarah, was placed in the Heichal. And as a result of these terrible events, these awful decrees that took place on this very day, that's why to date we continue establishing Shavuos B'Tammuz as a fast day. Mishnah Berurah comments and recognizes in the beginning of Siman Tov Mem Tes, quotes the Rambam verbatim. What's the purpose of a fast? Of course, we have to keep all the halachos of a fast. But the Rambam writes, Kol Eilu Hayamim Kol Yisrael Misanavem Pnei Tzara Shirem, Kidei Le'orer Halavavos, in order to inspire us and to wake us up, L'fakeach Al Darkei HaTshuva, in order that we should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Tshuva. V'yezez Yikar L'maaseinu Harayim L'maaseh Avoseinu Shayekim Aseinu Ata, and we should recall the events of our forefathers, and those are things that we also fall prey to. Shebizichron Hadvarim Eilu Nashiv Lehetiv Kmo Shenemar. And of course, the purpose of fasting, the purpose of a tzom, is in order ultimately that we'll be able to do tshuva. L'chein says the Rambam, Chayav, Kol Ish, Losum, Elibo, Bosan, Hayam, L'fashvesh, B'masav, L'loshavan. We should rectify, check our books, check our houses, check our storehouses, make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Ki ena ikar atayinitz, k'mo shkosev anshei nivrei, v'yaretz ma'aseim. Really, what we should be doing is to make sure we're doing tshuva, v'ena atayinitz ala hachanu l'tshuva. The purpose of the atayinitz is for tshuva. And therefore, concludes the Mishnah Berurah from the Chayei Adam, osam ha'anashim, k'sheheim misanim hochem b'tilu l'dvar m'tayim, those who are fasting, and just continue going about business like it's any day. Tafsu ha'tafel v'nichol ikar, they only grab the minority aspect of the fast, and left the majority aspect of the fast, and the main purpose of the fast, of course, is to do tshuva. The Mechaber says in Siman Tav Kuf Nun that there are some basic and fundamental differences between the three fast days and tshuva. Of course, everybody is chayav to fast all four fast days, Tisha B'Av, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia. However, Somos Halalu Chutz MiTisha B'Av, the three minor fasts, Mutarim B'Rechitza, B'Sicha, the three other fast days outside of Tzom HaChamishi, outside of Tisha B'Av, are permitted in the Chameshah Sinuyim, those things that were prohibited to do on Tisha B'Av, washing, bathing, anointing ourselves, wearing leather shoes, marital relations, starting the fast already in the daytime prior to Shkia Sachama, that's all permitted when it comes to the three fast days. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gemara that the reason for that is when we accepted these minor fast days, we only accepted them for the day and not of all the Chomer, Tainis, Tibur, Tisha B'Av. We didn't accept them as a fast like we do on Tisha B'Av. If you shein roba tibri chol namaba, it's an impossibility for us to maintain normalcy and to be able to hold on and to garner the strength to be able to fast in such an awesome way, the way we do on Tisha B'Av. However, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, quoting from the Ramban, that a bal nefesh yachmir b'kulam kama b'tisha b'Av, one who is of a heightened spirit, if one can, should be stringent like on Tisha B'Av. And then he quotes the Shaar HaTzion in the Mishnah Berurah, that this is the position of the Ramban. Today we live in very dangerous times. There are those who are stringent because when we accepted the fast upon ourselves, not like Tisha B'Av, that was only when times were good and positive and there was peace and serenity. But when times were tough and rough, we accepted upon ourselves the other fast days like we do Tisha B'Av. It's quoted that in the times of the Holocaust and throughout Jewish history during difficult seasons and difficult tkufos, that Jews kept the chumros of Tisha B'Av on other fast days as well. Another distinction between the other fast days and the fast days of Tisha B'Av, of course, is ubros menikos, those who are pregnant and those who are nursing. Shemitztaros harbe, that's very difficult for them to fast. Eim lehesanos, they are not required to fast, even though the Ramah continues, shenagul hachmir. That's only when it comes to the free fast days that one can be naked. If you can be stringent, then okay. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, everybody is required to fast, even a pregnant and even a nursing woman. The custom very frequently and commonly has become for nursing and pregnant women not to fast, as we consider them to be in need of water, in need of drinking, in need of eating, and therefore the common custom for a woman who's certainly pregnant and a woman who's nursing regularly is not to fast. Custom essentially is not to follow the Bal Nefesh that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and most people do not keep the stringencies of Tisha B'Av on the other fast days as well. As Shavuot B'Tam is one of the four fast days, it's also unique in that it begins what we refer to as the 3 weeks, the Gimel Shavuot. The 3 weeks are referred to as Bein HaMitzarim, a time that is not an auspicious time period, a time that's difficult historically, of course, beginning in Shavuot B'Tam, ultimately culminating in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon and the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. However, the Bach for B'Yal Circus notes here in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, beginning of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Shirov Hilchos Gimel Shavuos V'Tisha B'Av Chumroseh. The majority of the halachos that we keep in the 3 weeks are really stringency, and explains the Bach that according to the letter of the law, really the only things that we have to keep, at least in halacha, are only beginning on Rosh Chodesh Ad, beginning on the 9 day. The Gemara teaches in the Maseches Tainis, and we pass it like this in Shulchan Aruch, Mishenichnas Av Nima'atim B'Simcha. When the Chodesh Av, the month of Av begins, we start to degree Simcha. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Mechaber give us numerous examples of what some of those ways that we're Mima'at in Simcha are. And included in that is that we decrease any forms of Simcha Kon Beis, Chasnus Lovno, Obinim Shel Tzir V'Chir, planting, building, weddings, and a variety of other things, so much so that according to the letter of the law, that only includes things that you have to minimize in Simcha begin on Rosh Chodesh Av during the 9 days. However, eating meat, for example, is only a halach on the Ikar Adin on Erev Tisha B'Av. Svardim are machmed to even keep that for the Shavuot Shechalbo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on. However, we, as Bnei Ashkenaz, have kept many, many more stringencies than the Ikar Adin. And the Bach notes, and later Mefarshim recognize that we, Bnei Ashkenaz, need to sensitize ourselves to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It'd be impossible for us to relate and to connect to Tisha B'Av if one day, Erev Tisha B'Av, we wake up, we're expected to start feeling the sensitivity and the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we need 3 weeks, we need 9 days, we need the week of Tisha B'Av, we need Erev Tisha B'Av to get us into the mood to help us recognize it. As Soloveitchik famously pointed out, there's a fundamental and categorical difference between what's called Avelus Yeshana and Avelus Chadasha, new form of mourning versus an old form of mourning. When it comes to a mourner who lost a loved one, of course, we begin as an onen, and you move from aninus to shiva, and shiva to shloshim, and shloshim to your beis chodesh. And in terms of the halachos get lighter. The most painful and difficult part of the mourning process is immediately. And then it lightens up with shiva, it lightens up with shloshim, and it lightens up with your beis chodesh. As opposed to the time period which we approach now, we start with the 3 weeks, and it's lighter. and then we move to the 9 days and it gets heavier. We move to the Shavuot Shechalba and it gets heavier. We move to Erev Tisha B'Av and it gets heavier. We move to Tisha B'Av and that's the heaviest. And explain to Rabbi Soloveitchik, when it comes to the loss of a loved one, it's naturally painful and difficult and horrifying experience. And therefore, the natural way that a human being deals with it is pain and pain and pain, but slowly the pain dissipates and it gets lighter and it gets easier. However, when it comes to Avelus Yeshana and Avelus of the Beis HaMikdash, which is foreign, which is ancient, which our parents, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents don't even remember, we need to sensitize ourselves to it. Like the Sefer HaChinuch says, Chitzonius is Ma'or Pnimius. Outward expression influences our internal expression. And therefore, slowly, we start keeping Chumros of the 3 weeks. And slowly, we move to the 9 days, to Shavuot Shechalbo, to Erev Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av. Some of the chumros and some of the minhagim that we keep as Bnei Ashkenaz during the 3 weeks include, of course, no weddings, no engagements, an offshore. The caveat of that, according to the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, is music and dancing are also prohibited. The standard custom in Klal Yisrael today amongst Ashkenazim, that music that's even not live, music that's over a radio, music that's over a CD, music that is electronic is also prohibited. Most have the custom that even music that doesn't have background actual music of instruments, but just a cappella is also prohibited. Of course, all of this is to try to sensitize us and help us recognize that times are not the way they're supposed to be. We're not in the situation, we're not in the matzav that we're supposed to be in, and by not marrying, by not having engagements, by not listening to music, by not dancing, that's going to allow a person to recognize the significance of the time period that we're in. So the second custom that the Ramah notes in Siman Tavkuf Nun Aleph, haircuts and shaving, that's another way that we express our loss. That's something that an Avel does. We grow our hair, we don't shave, also in an effort to help us recognize that things aren't normal and we don't care for ourselves the way we ordinarily do. And the physical expression of our lack of taking care of ourselves physically also should help us recognize this as well. At the end of the Siman Tavkuf Nun Aleph, Mechaber mentions two other customs. One is Tov Lomar, Lo Lomar Shachiyanu Bebein HaMitzarim, the custom that we don't recite the bracha of Shachiyanu during the time period of the 3 weeks. And therefore, most do not purchase any new clothing. Certainly new clothing that one ordinarily would not make a Shachiyanu on should not be bought. Any clothing that are expensive, that are extravagant, that one ordinarily does make a Shachiyanu on should not be purchased during the time period. Of course, undergarments and the like, things of less value, of less significance that one ordinarily does not make a Shachiyanu on, those are permitted to be purchased. And again, all out of the sense of sensitizing ourselves to help us recognize that we should not be doing these things. Of course, if anything comes up that requires a Shachiyanu, a pidgin aben, a bris milah in Eretz Yisrael, a new fruit, so one can recite a Shachiyanu, the Mishnah Berurah and the Gra seem to indicate that the best thing to do is to wait for Shabbos. When it comes to a new fruit, there's something that can wait. Of course, if it's a mitzvah that comes up that requires a Shachiyanu, that is something that should take place immediately. Finally, the Mechaber mentions at the end of Siman Tavkuf Nun Aleph that there's a custom, lo leilech lechidi balayla, not to walk by oneself during specific hours of the day. And there the Mechaber also tells us, ne'arba shos, ha'tesha shos, in the fourth hour, the ninth hour. And the point here being, and this is based upon Hagos Harmonios and others, that seem to indicate that because it's in an inauspicious time period, because we find ourselves in a dangerous time period, because we find ourselves in a time period historically that has been a makkah for the Jewish people year after year, generation after generation, five things on Shavuos of the Talmud, five terrible things on Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash leaves us in a world that's empty, that's barren, that doesn't have as much clarity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we should be cautious, we should be careful, we should recognize the time period, and we should recognize in tefillah significant Yishlam Ircha Bracha in Tashir Vritzei Hashem Elokeinu V'amucha Yisrael B'tzvila Tzal Mesechet Zeno Inenu B'rshuvucha L'tzion Barachamim Yiratzim L'fanecha Shibana Beis HaMikdash Me'er B'yameinu. We should recognize what we're lost, what we don't have, that the world that we live in today is a world without a Beis HaMikdash. It's only a snippet, an iota of the joy, of the simcha, of the happiness that we will have with the Beis HaMikdash. Bahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, those are all the things that we look forward to, that we anticipate a world where we'll have a closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's these aspects of the 3 weeks, of the 9 days, of Shavuot Shechalbo, we're supposed to try to picture a world of Beis HaMikdash, a world with clarity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a world where we wait for the Mashiach, a world where we wait for everything to be properly a world of health, a world of happiness, a world of yeshuas and nechamos, a time and a season where everything is supposed to be the way it is. If we keep these halachos by following the halachos, it allows us to appreciate the situation that we're in. The ma'aseh ha-mitzvos allows us to appreciate the kiyum, the emotional aspect of the mitzvah as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, and we should be able to see binyan beis hamikdash, binyan hashlishi, b'tzarav.